Good morning. Today I have Darcy O'Daniel. She's a music therapist with Notable Progressions, and we are going to discuss what music therapy is and isn't. Hopefully we'll dispel some misconceptions about music therapy, and many families like mine will find the value in having your son or daughter work with a music therapist. It was something I will admit I wasn't sure about, and I found a lot of great results since my son started using Notable Progressions and working with therapists there. So I want to get the word out. And with that, I want to review. We're going to talk about who Darcy is, what music therapy is, who would benefit, what else do you guys offer, and how to verify the music therapist is board certified. You really want to make sure if you're working with therapists that they are certified. It's just one more safeguard to make sure that the person you're working with knows what they're doing. And then at the end, we'll talk about where to learn more. I don't have Darcy's email address in these slides. However, when you back out into the YouTube channel, her email will be on the show notes. So with that, Darcy, you mind telling us a little bit about you and Notable Progressions?
Yeah, sounds good. So yes, my name is Darcy O'Daniel. I am a board certified music therapist, and I started Notable Progressions. It'll be 9 years ago in July. I came to the Notable Progressions is based in Frederick, Maryland, and I came to this area for a part-time music therapy job that fell apart. And since I was in the area, I noticed that there was a need for folks to access music therapy on their own, not necessarily through a hospital if they had a music therapist, or you know, an agency having a music therapist, but really giving power to the consumers to get music therapy on their own. So that's kind of where Notable Progressions was born from. My very first client actually found me through the Music Therapy Association website, and that just kind of started the ball rolling and really opened my eyes again to the need and opportunity in the community. So that's how Notable Progressions was started. We serve a variety of ages and populations throughout our greater community. Frederick, Montgomery, and Washington counties primarily are our service areas.
And there's no age limits, right? You said a variety of clients. I know my son will be 21, but you've also mentioned nursing homes. It sounds like you can serve a wide variety of individuals.
Yes. Yeah, so the youngest that we have had has been a couple months old, all the way up to 100 plus. So we do serve the age range at Notable Progressions.
So what is music therapy? I mean, is it just banging on a drum? Is it giving some guitar lessons?
It can be all of those things and so much more. So we at Notable Progressions like to say that music therapy is the use of music to address a functional goal. So if banging on the drum is going to get you to your functional goal, maybe you're working on sound desensitization, then cool, that's what we're going to do. But if your goal is to obtain a leisure skill, then we might be teaching you how to play the guitar. Or if your goal is to, you know, isolate your fingers and work on fine motor skills, then we might be playing the piano. But music therapy is often, it looks like you're doing one thing, but you're working on something else, an underlying, like I said, that functional goal. So anything that you might work on in another therapies, you know, communication, working in speech therapy, or motor skills, working in physical therapy, we can address those same needs, but we just use music as our tool to do so. Maybe the music serves as a motivator to help someone cross midline if we're working on motor movements, or it serves as a neurologic organizer to help the brain and the body communicate more succinctly.
Yeah, I remember what brought me to you was helping my son understand emotions. And that, I saw a lot of great results since the time he started working with you guys. And I never would have put two and two together that was something that you could have done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much. Oftentimes we can't process, or we're not ready to process something verbally, but we can process it and express it and explore it musically. And then when the client is ready, if the client gets ready, we can transfer it from, you know, musically expressing what does angry sound like into verbally expressing it and making that bridge from the musical components to, again, that functional component, so that then maybe he can tell you, Dad, I'm angry, versus, you know, not having the skills to do that in an appropriate way.
And if I heard you correctly, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you can work with in conjunction or with a physical therapist, with an occupational therapist, you know, with an ABA or a BCBA. It sounds like it's not mutually exclusive.
Absolutely. Yeah. I tell families a lot of times that in music therapy, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We want to support what's already going on in that client's therapeutic work. So if you're working on something in speech therapy, then how can we also support that in music therapy to get you to that goal even quicker, or approach it from different ways to, you know, if speech therapy is approaching it from obviously their specialty, then how can we also approach it from the music therapy specialty and make it a more, just a richer therapeutic experience? There is the option for co-treating as well. So if, you know, if we know we have worked in the same session with occupational therapists before, you know, any of them that we share clients with, and then we also are in communication with our clients' therapy team outside of the music therapy world as well, just to see what's happening with carryover. What can we do to support them? What can they do to support us? We don't want to operate in a silo, because that's not going to be beneficial for the clients.
And right now we're in the midst of COVID-19, so schools are remote. It sounds like if you're part of a team, could somebody bring you in as a part of an IEP?
Yes, yes. So we contract with the local public schools in several counties, and yes, music therapy can be a related service on a student's IEP. There's a different assessment process for school-based music therapy as compared to private. And in the school-based, we're really looking at what are the students' biggest needs? And we actually go in and observe them working on those specific IEP goals in the classroom or in their school-based therapy settings. And then we work on those exact same goals with music therapy as our modality. And we compare, did they do better, significantly better in music therapy versus the non-music setting? And if so, then that's when they would qualify for school-based music therapy. And then it's written into their IEP, as you said, just like physical therapy or speech therapy would be. And then the school then provides that. It's within the school day. It's just like a school-based service. We go to the schools, see the students there. And again, like you say, collaborate with the IEP team. We can write in consult services so that we can give the therapists tools, musical tools that they can use. And we also can get their tools to apply into the music therapy setting.
And I want to highlight this for parents. If a school authorizes you as part of the IEP, that means the parents aren't paying your fee. That it's all part, it's just like speech or occupational offered through the school, it's paid for by the school district.
Correct.
So it shouldn't be a reason why parents wouldn't want to bring you in.
Absolutely. It does go back to that, the educational needs. So if the family is interested in pursuing music therapy because they want their kiddo to have guitar lessons, then that would be a much more appropriate setting for private music therapy. That's not an educational need. You know, working on speech goals and answering WH questions, and that's a goal that the student has on their IEP, then that's the great time to make a music therapy. You request the music therapy assessment is how families would go about doing that.
Because it has to be tied to an educational goal, right?
Yes.
But the music therapist, I would think, can help families understand how to tie it. Because family, I'm speaking for myself, I would not know how to write an educational goal. But that's
Absolutely.
Something you can help with, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, and that's one of the great things is often, I mean, when we start working with a student in the school system, they've usually been receiving services for a little while. So they already have an IEP developed. So we look at that plan that's already developed. And from there, we see, okay, what of these goals can best be supported in music therapy? And that those are the goals we use then to do the assessment. The school-based assessment process is very robust. We interview the families, we interview the case managers, we interview the school-based therapists, just to really try and get as much of a complete picture of the student as possible before assessing them, so we can really hone in on what those educational needs are, so that when we're choosing those goals, we're choosing the right ones that are both the student's biggest need and can best be supported with music therapy.
And this is probably going to be true in any state, right? This isn't Maryland specific. I mean, we're talking just about any state should have similar requirements if you want to offer music therapy in a school setting.
Yes, I mean it's part of IDEA, so it's nationally part of those regs. There are some school systems that just don't have music therapy, but it takes one parent to make that request and to follow through with, educating about the regs. And I know a lot of it comes from just not trying to get out of doing something, but school systems really just don't even know. It's becoming a lot more prevalent for sure, but it's also takes some education on the family's part often as well.
And the last thing before we move on to the next topic, I gotta say, I was surprised that we were able to continue therapy sessions when we went into quarantine. I mean, I'm just being honest. So I want to highlight
Was
that,
too.
but I want to highlight that if somebody's interested in their state's still in lockdown or quarantine, or maybe the state's not locked down, but they have a medically fragile child, so they're worried about getting out, you can still, and I imagine other music therapists are similar in other states. You can still offer services remotely. It may vary depending on the therapist and the level of comfort and the individual, but it's not an automatic no, correct?
That is correct. If you would have asked me in January of 2020, I'd have been like, nah, virtual music therapy. But here we are, and it's actually going pretty well for us, I would say. I mean, yeah, is it the same as in person? No, nothing is, but we have had great success with all of our clients who have chosen to go the virtual music therapy route. And we actually just completed our first virtual music therapy assessment for a private client. So someone who we have never met in person, but they were on our waiting list and reached out and said, can we give it a shot? And we said, sure, why not? So yeah, we did our first assessment for virtual services and
Excellent.
yeah, qualified, and we're moving forward with services. So definitely it's something that is not off the table just because we are in quarantine. I mean, we've had kiddos go and grab, oatmeal tubes to make drums, and it's all about creativity.
Awesome.
Right? Yes.
So we touched on a few things where we said music lessons a couple times. I mean, is that something Notable Progressions does?
Yes. So in addition to our, I call them more traditional music therapy services, we also offer adapted lessons. So a lot of families will have tried piano lessons with a traditional lesson instructor, but their kiddo has autism and it's just not a good fit. Not to say that there aren't lesson instructors out there who could be a great fit, but it just wasn't one of them. So we will have families that come to us strictly for lessons, and that is absolutely something that we can provide. We also do music enrichment classes, so music classes for little ones and caregivers from 0 to 5 years old. And then we do a lot of community-based services. So typically in non-COVID times, in the summer times here in Frederick, we do a free community drum circle once a month at Sky Stage. We are always out in the community just sharing about music therapy. Yeah, like you said yourself, a lot of people don't know what music therapy is or what it can do unless we're out there having those conversations.
And I imagine other states have their therapists probably offer similar modalities, maybe not everybody, but similar, right? And again, I want to highlight that for anybody who doesn't live in Maryland and say, I don't want them saying, oh, well, I just won't reach out. I encourage people to reach out to the therapist local to you and see what they offer. I mean, I don't think it can hurt.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if anybody needs assistance connecting with therapists, you say I'm in this state, this area, I'm happy to see if I know any therapists. There is a pretty robust network of music therapy business owners and private practices all across the country. So sometimes it can be difficult to find, but we're usually out there, I promise, and love, love, love to talk with people about what's going on and how we can support them. You can also go to there are two different websites that you can go to look for music therapists. So yes, the CBMT website lists every board certified music therapist. You can search, as you can see, you can search by their name. That is kind of tricky. So if you were to spell my name wrong, then I'm not going to come up. But you can also search by area or by certification number if you happen to know that. So this lists all the board certified music therapists. There's another website through the American Music Therapy Association that's another searchable site for music therapists. You have to be a member of AMTA to be listed on their website, whereas CBMT, lists all board certified music therapists.
So this is probably for the average person, this is probably the better website to go to.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, CDMT has updated their website in the last year or so, and their search tool is a lot more robust. So definitely it's a good place to look for music therapists and to verify that they are board certified.
And this is probably a good time to talk about board certification, what it means, why you want a therapist who's board certified.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorite questions when I give presentations is people ask me what I went to school for. Music therapy. Like, I think a lot of people think that, oh, I went to school for music education, but I also do social work. Or, oh, I was a therapist who happened to play the piano. Music therapy is its own standalone degree program. There are certificates that you can go back and get if you have, you know, music ed degree, that sort of thing. It does get a little bit muddy, but it is pretty clear in terms of everyone comes out with a music therapy degree. To complete that degree, you also have to complete an internship, which is typically about 1,200 clinical hours, and
Wow.
then that makes you eligible to sit for the board certification exam. So then once you pass that, then you get the credentials MT-VC. And again, that's maintained by the web page that you're seeing there, the certification board for music therapists. Then, like other therapeutic modalities, we maintain that credential by getting continuing education credits. So I think we have a 5-year re-education cycle to get, we get 100 credits every 5 years to maintain our certification.
So they want you to, I mean, that sounds like a lot of education.
It is. And if you think about it, I mean, you don't want just someone who can play the guitar beautifully to work on emotions with your kiddo, because what if they choose a song that is going to be too powerful for where they're at in their therapeutic process? What if you choose a song that is triggering of emotions that they're not ready to process yet? We're trained to assess that and to know what to present in a session and to also assess constantly. So if we see signs of, you know, discomfort, we can make the assessment. Is this a safe place to push a little further, or do we need to back down? Someone who is a, you know, music entertainer, while they may play the guitar beautifully, isn't going to have that therapeutic mindset to assess and reassess and adapt their presentation appropriately for something like that.
Is it okay to work with somebody who's doing an internship? I mean, let's say that somebody comes with notable progressions, you have an intern. Is that intern by themselves? Is there a therapist with them?
Great question. So that looks a little bit different per each internship, but you are not, as an intern, you are supposed to be working under the supervision of a board certified music therapist. So I know that when we have had interns, they are always with a board certified music therapist. When they get towards the end of their internship, then that's when, you know, we can back off more, and you know, we do want to let them spread their wings and fly as well. But I mean, I know in my internship, there'd be times that I was leading the session and my supervisor was in the next room over. She could hear everything that was going on, but wasn't, you know, physically there in the session just to give that opportunity. So it looks a little bit different for each internship, what you know, what their comfort level is, and honestly also what their legal mandate is. That's another thing I was gonna talk about the board certified music therapist. We're going to be carrying liability insurance. We're going to have a code of ethics to adhere to, whereas someone who's not isn't going to have the, you know, those supports behind them as well to help drive their decision-making process.
And just a quick tangent, if somebody's interested in becoming a music therapist, where would they start?
So I would recommend starting at the American Music Therapy Association website, which is musictherapy.org. And you can find a listing of every school in the country that has a music therapy program. There's also information about, so you think you want to be a music therapist? Here are populations that you could work in. Here are places you might work, just to see if it is something that still resonates with you. There are definitely some information there and some videos of music therapy, so you can kind of get a feel for what is this thing that I think I might want to do, but what does it really look like? And then I would
Awesome.
also recommend reaching out to a music therapist in your area and seeing if, you know, you can chat with them about what their experience is as well.
Very cool. Thank you. What are your last thoughts? What should I have asked that I didn't ask? What do you want to make sure families walk away from this understanding and knowing?
Yeah. So something that we didn't cover that is often kind of a something that families are often concerned about when coming to us is how do we pay for music therapy? I would say, and this varies by practice and by states. Our practice, we don't accept insurance. Music therapy can at times be covered by insurance out of network. We have had limited success with that. So what we do for families is if they want to go the insurance route, then they pay us and then we provide them a super bill to submit for reimbursement. We also, and I'm sure other private practices do the same, we work super hard to connect folks with funding support. So here in Maryland, we have LIS funding that is great for music therapy, for funding music
That's
therapy. There's also a lot of local grants that are available throughout the community. And then we have a lot of folks who are, you know, I feel like this was your reaction of, oh, well, that's all. Like, that's okay. We can do that. So it might just be worth the conversation to see, you know, what do services cost in your area, and is it something that you're able to take under your typical, you know, family budget, or look for other funding sources to help support?
And as a parent, I want to encourage other parents to not look at it as another cost like cable TV. It's so much more than that. To me, as a parent, it's literally something that is life-changing. Speaking from my experience, it really changed, his outlook and his ability to communicate. And to me, there's no price that you can set on it. Obviously everybody's budget is different. But to your
Sure.
point, Darcy, you don't want to assume it's going to be too expensive. You just don't know until you ask. And the other piece I want to add to this, and this is me putting my financial planner hat on, is if it is a medically necessary, meaning if you can get your doctor to sign off on saying, I believe music therapy will help your child improve social skills, improve communication skills, whatever, and get that in writing, it becomes a qualified medical expense. And then, as long as you meet the requirements for whatever the year is, I think this year it's 7.5% of income, anything above that becomes a qualified medical deduction and you can itemize. And you can also, if you're driving to and from therapy, you can take that mileage. So if you're seeing your therapist once a week and maybe you have to drive a round trip 20, 30 miles once a week, well, that becomes that all of that mileage becomes an additional medical expense that you can deduct. And that shouldn't be the end all be all. It shouldn't be the reason you do therapy or not therapy, but it should be something you take into account.
Absolutely. And I can tell you that any music therapist as well would be happy to provide you with a copy of their treatment plan if your doctor wants to see that to understand more what's happening in music therapy and how this might support, you know, their patient. And I've also had families, you know, at the end of the year, we provide them with an itemized list of how much they spent on music therapy each year. So I'm sure your therapist would be happy to do that. You know, we as a profession are doing everything we can to increase access to services. So I don't know any of my colleagues who wouldn't be happy to do that to help make it more accessible for sure.
Awesome, Darcy. And I really appreciate you making the time to talk to us today. It's been great.
Absolutely. I love talking about music therapy and helping people know more about it. And like I said earlier, if anyone has, you know, if you have trouble finding a music therapist in your area, don't hesitate to send me an email. I'll be happy to do what I can to see what we can do to help connect you with someone.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the ABCs of Disability Planning podcast. We invite your feedback and comments. Please feel free to leave a review wherever you are listening, and don't forget to hit like, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you would like to connect, please email me, eric@specialneedsnavigator.us. If you'd like to learn more about or talk with a guest, please reference the show notes to find the best way to reach them.